Hello, Voices of Wrestling listener. Dave Ryan here. Have you ever wondered to yourself how many hidden gems are hidden away inside the last years of World Championship Wrestling? Have you ever asked yourself how many tenuous gags can be made about the name Mike Enos? And have you ever thought about what it sounds like for two Irishmen to interpret a very chaotic company through its B-show? The answers to all this and more are just a click away. Check out Days of Thunder every second Thursday on the Voices of Wrestling podcast network.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling podcasting network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Welcome to episode 67 of the Emerald Flow Show. We're a podcast on the Voices of Wrestling podcast network. You can follow us on X at Emerald Flow Show. Listen to us on all of your favorite podcasting apps. And if you could, leave us a five-star review on Apple Podcasts. And you can donate to the show at voicesofwrestling.com/donate. The intro music you heard this week is a little different. You may know that theme. That's Masato Tanaka's theme because he's celebrating his 30th anniversary as a wrestler. And I wanted to take some time out to talk about this, Paul, because Tanaka was actually a very huge influence on me getting into Japanese wrestling.
Oh, yeah. I think he would have been like a lot of people's kind of first exposure, right? Definitely one of the like pioneers, basically, like back in the 90s.
I think he was the... pretty much the main gateway for me seeing him in ECW in late 99. That really opened things, my eyes, and opened things up for me. So he was a big factor there.
Yeah. No, I mean, because I'm thinking, because there's obviously been like other like American, like other Japanese wrestlers on like American TV, like Muto, obviously. But I feel like Tanaka, and I think Tajiri as well are definitely like the guys that I think were like a gateway for a lot of people to like really like, I think, start seeking out like Japanese stuff as well.
Yeah,
because I don't think Muto's second WCW run didn't really inspire that same kind of interest that like Tajiri and Tanaka did in ECW. And I mean, with Tanaka as well, just like, I mean, Tajiri is like washed and has been for a while, but Tanaka, like he was still like, I don't think he's like act like he, I don't think he's like a top tier worker like he was like 5 years ago, but he's still pretty good when he wants to.
Yeah, well, we'll get into that right now, because this morning, or today for you, I guess, because it's still before noon where I am, I watched the Masato Tanaka 30th anniversary show. Paul, I only watched the main event, but do you have anything to say about the undercard at all?
I mean, I will say that, who was the guy in the opener? Hiroki Saki. Like, he's pretty decent, with the caveats that he's like 49 and he made his debut like 2 years ago. So like for a guy that like started in his late 40s, he's pretty old. Like, I don't think he's like amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
But like with all of those caveats, he's pretty decent. Like he's way better than he should be.
I have seen him on those other Real 01 shows, and I'm just like, oh yeah, he's pretty good for an old guy.
Yeah, 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 it's just that he's like basically a rookie.
Yeah, that's funny.
Like legitimately only slightly more experienced than Yuma Anzai.
Yeah. Anything else?
Anything else? Everything else was like incredibly forgettable. Like the like Unagi freeway was just comedy basically. Mm-hmm. Kotoge versus Nago, I think, was like the second best match on the show.
Yeah.
But it was just very basic and pretty forgettable as well. Like it really was all about the main event. So if you watch anything from this, I think you feel very safe into skipping everything else.
No announced attendance for this show yet. I'm just looking at like Cage Match. They've got it up. No announced attendance, but it was at Shinjuku Face. And I would say, I don't know what, 75% full, at least from the cam.
I mean, 401 shows pretty decent. That's the thing. Like,
I mean, I would
like,
say
if run like Shinjuku Face with like 125 people.
Yeah, I was like, if they drew 300 people, which I think is actually possible.
Yeah,
that's good for them.
Yeah, that's good for them. But then again, it's like Masato Tanaka's 30th anniversary. So I don't know. I think it's still a little bit disappointing to not sell out for that, right?
Or do Corkin even. They couldn't even, yeah. You know what I mean?
But then again, it is also the middle of the week as well. Well, it's Thursday, not middle of the week, but you know what I mean. It's during the week.
Yeah. So what did you think of the main event? Because it went to a 30-minute draw. Mm-hmm. I mean, pretty good. I can't say great. You know, like you said, Tanaka is, I don't want to overrate this, but I don't want to underrate this. He's showing his age and he's losing a bit of a step, but he's not like some like decrepit old man or anything like that. I don't want to like, you know, make that clear. He's just moving a little slower than he would have. He like even 2-3 years ago, I feel like he has like slowed down since he's like stopped being on like most Noah show.
Yeah. I mean, I mean, it was always a miracle that he was moving around as well as he did. Just like, I mean, just based off of the ECW stuff alone, just the like amount of just absolutely insane bumps he took in ECW. Like the fact that like for like 30 years after that, he was just moving around like fine, like normal when he was wrestling was just insane.
Yeah, and he moves like, you know, just an older person, not someone that has like...
Yeah, that's the other thing. He moves around like a 51-year-old wrestler, not like, not like people would have expected Masato Tanaka moving around at 51, like back in the 90s. Because probably if you had asked me back then, I probably would have been like, oh yeah, no, that guy's probably in a wheelchair, right? It's like, nah, he's still wrestling. He doesn't even like have any intention of retiring.
So, I mean, if you think about this, this was sort of the match that you were expecting. 30-minute draw. I mean, they kick the crap out of each other and then like had like a hot like closing stretch. They were doing each other's moves to each other, like Sugira did the sliding D and then like Tanaka did the Olympic slam and everything like that. You see that a lot in those sort of like big epic Japanese matches and everything like that. So I mean, I don't think this is like, I mean, if you are a Masato Tanaka fan, you should probably see this match.
Yeah,
but I mean, can't like give it
alone for like the DVD on the apron.
Well, here's the thing. That was like on a single cam. So I feel like
you didn't even see it.
That lost some of the impact because it was on the opposite side.
I mean, but still, I was like, oh man, both of these are like over 50. And they're just like, you know what? Let's just. And they didn't even do it that long into the match. It was like 5 minutes into the match. It was like, you know, just straight in there. No, like I said, I also would say good, not great. I feel like I think it went a bit too long. I think the time limit draw, if this was like 15 minutes, I actually think this could have been a great match, but there was just too much like filler stuff in there because they had to go for a few minutes.
Tanaka controlled like most of the first half of this. And then all of a sudden he just started like, cause they actually did stuff and they're like, then he started slapping on holds in the middle of the ring.
Yeah.
In the middle of it, it was like, okay, well, this is going to a 30-minute draw.
Yeah, that's also where I was like, all right, I know where this is going. I know what we're doing here.
Started randomly pulling out holds in the middle of the ring like 10 minutes in.
Yeah. But I was like, oh, are they going to go for like the finishing sequence? And then they just slowed the match down. I'm like, okay, I think I can settle in. And like, this is not going to be over for a while, is it?
No. And then obviously, you know, like if you can think about how this match went, because it was like Tanaka versus Sugera, just like lots of insane forearms for the last 5 minutes and everything like that.
Yeah, no, that was still really fun. Yeah, that it was still really really fun match. Like I don't think like and all of the criticism that shouldn't get lost. I think you like if you want to watch anything from this, you need to watch this one. But it's just, it's 30 minutes long. You need to like keep that in mind with a bunch of
fellas. Yeah.
You know what, Gerard? What actually might be a good recommendation to give people is to basically like skip like the middle 10 minutes, just straight up, just fast forward 10 minutes once like Tanaka starts slapping holes, and then watch the closing stretch. And I think you're going to enjoy this a lot more.
Okay, I got a question for you, and I think I might know your answer, and it might be different than mine. What did you think about this compared to another old man 30 minute draw of Go versus Saito?
I like this one more.
Okay. I actually think I might have liked Go versus Saito.
No, I can see that's fair, but no, like this one just, it was a little bit more dynamic as well. So yeah, I mean, even with like I think both matches kind of suffered very much from like a lot of filler stuff as well. And sure. Both kind of suffered from being too long, but there was just more in here for me to like sink my teeth into than Go versus Saito.
This was a 30-minute, well, I was going to say, this is like the 30-minute and 30th anniversary, not 30-minute draw, 30th anniversary show for Tanaka. Did a little research quickly. He actually debuted in July of 1990. But I suspect either those were, well, I don't think they were dark men, but I suspect that given everything going on in 01, they probably just had to kick the can down the line before they could be like, okay, let's just do the 30th anniversary show.
I mean, might this also have legitimately been a thing of like Tanaka forgot that it was his 30th anniversary last year? Someone like congratulated him after the fact and he was like, ah, shit. And then it was too late to book a venue for the show. And then we're like, we're just going to pretend it's next year and then book Shinjuku Face. Like, I don't think that's impossible. They just straight up forgot last year and couldn't get a booking.
Yeah. Well, it's funny because the Real 01 shows on Wrestle Universe have like almost disappeared. This was the first one in a while.
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, I'm happy that they did it this year because, again, because of the Wrestle Universe deal, at least we got to see it. Because I feel like if they did it last year, we wouldn't have gotten to see this at all.
Mm-mm. Definitely not. Yeah, that's good in that hand. I don't know what the future holds because he hasn't been in NOAH for a while or anything like that. So this seemed like just like, we got to do it because it's happening or it's the moment, right?
Yeah, I mean, maybe if they do keep that deal up, maybe he is going to pop in at least a little bit more. But
well, actually... I thought maybe he'd actually win this match to set up a tag title match.
I mean, I do think he's still the most likely person to beat Go for a title.
That's true, too.
I mean, I would actually maybe like to see him pop up into All Japan a bit. Like, he's never really had a run in All Japan at all.
Well, he had that tag league run.
Yeah, like at that, but that's like literally the only thing ever, you know?
No, there was a little bit of stuff like in 2002, 2000. So when FMW closed, he worked like an All Japan tour and then he went to 01. And then he came back as part of 01, tagging with Otani in the 2003 Real World Tag League. Or was it 2002 Real World Tag League? Yeah, 2002 Real World Tag League.
Okay, so like a little bit of stuff at least, but it's not like,
yeah,
you know, it's, I mean, also the fact that I like completely blanked on it just like tells you that it's not exactly the most memorable run either. So I don't know, like I, you know, because there's so many like interesting young guys in there that he could like work with and like put over maybe as well. Mm-hmm. So I think it would at least be interesting for him to do, but I don't know if there's any chance of that happening at all.
So that's Masato Tanaka's 30 years and, well,
his 31st anniversary.
Yeah, his 31st anniversary. To perhaps maybe another 30. I don't know. I mean, he might try it.
If you think he's going to wrestle? I mean, yeah, he could get there. I was just at like the Fuji show. So, and he would be the same age. He would be 71 then. So, no, wait, he would be 81. No, he would be 81. Yeah, I think that's a bit of a stretch. Maybe that's a little bit too much, but I think he could definitely, like, we could definitely get to, like, the 40th anniversary.
Actually, yes, we could. That's funny. Or even, he can get to his 50th and be, like, Fuji age.
Yeah, if he goes all the way to Fuji age, he can get to 50th anniversary, which Yeah, that would be the exact same as Fuji, because the Fuji one was like 70 years old, 50th anniversary as a wrestler.
Yeah. So from there, we move on to Great. Had their show, their annual big show, Great version 12 on July 1st at Tokyo Dome City Hall, drawing 1,511 fans. Paul, I don't really have any reason to doubt this, considering they'd be able to draw at Tokyo Dome City Hall.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I think this number is legit, and they loaded up the card as well. So and it was like a special event as well with Kaz Hayashi's retirement. So I think that is very much a legit number.
Yeah.
And it, again, like if they were lying about their numbers, then why do their Kurikans always look? Why aren't you lying up on your Kurikan numbers, you know?
Yeah, yeah. That those 600, 700 Kurikans are definitely 600 or 700
people. Yeah. So that's like, you know, like that's why I would maybe go and like save face and be like, yeah, there were 800 people here when they very clearly weren't. So I do think this is a legit number. And as you said, like they all, like for some reason, they only ever draw well in Tokyo Dome City Hall. They never draw well in Kurikan. It's,
well, I mean,
very
it's
odd.
Year, and it really is.
I mean, it is, but still. I mean, they've tried loading up Kurikans as well, right? And that still doesn't work as well as like whenever they do it for like these type of shows. So it's like it can't even be a location thing because they're literally like a 10-minute walk from each other. Less actually, I think it's like 5 minutes. It's like literally you just walk across the square.
Yeah, it's across the street.
Yeah.
So first off, we had Great versus the Ushi Pro Wrestling Institute, even though Shuji Ishikawa is considered great. So Shuji Ishikawa, Jun Tancho, Michiko Junji, and Joe Lando defeating Rika Itaka, Yukimitsu Takahashi, Yumihito Imanari, Kaiji Tomato, and Tyson Meguchi in 5:22 with the steez bomb from Lando on Takahashi. And Lando knocked himself out, it seems like.
Yeah, it looked really bad.
Yeah.
I mean, I was also kind of shocked that they didn't appear to be like medical staff, right?
No.
Because, I mean, Joe Lando was basically like, no, guys, I'm hurt. Like I need... And then they kind of just carried him out. Like,
yeah.
On literally on their shoulders. Like,
I mean, he did regain consciousness.
He did, but he was very... Like, he was basically not really able to walk. Like, he was very wobbly and all of that. So that's why they carried him out. But, like, there was no, like, medical staff that checked on him, like, in the ring before they, like... Because, again, like, yeah, he knocked himself out. So, like, concussion, and like, he probably needs to get checked for that and all of that. But they probably should have checked him for, like, a neck injury, and they just didn't... Like, it was pretty negligible to... not negligible, but careless, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Negligent. That's what I was looking for.
Negligent. So, I mean, it was a fine opener. Really short, even for an opener. So this undercard was a little strange because also in the next match, Minoru Tanaka and Kazuki Harada defeated Issei Onitsuka and Yusuke Kodama of Yan's family in 3:59 with the BDF from Tanaka on Onitsuka. And I actually thought this match was actually pretty good. And it
ended. It's also like basically they did like, it was like a pretty straightforward match as well, right? Like Harada didn't even really get to like, do his shtick. Like, that was kind of the gimmick of the match, right? Because Jan's family attacked them before the bell, before they could do the dance. And then the match was basically over so quickly that Harada didn't even really get to do the dance at all. Like, I think he kind of, like, signaled that as well. Was like, wait, what do you mean the match is already over? I didn't get to dance yet.
And then we had the Great and AAA Alliance Commemoration, Octagon Jr. and Soma Watanabe defeated SBK and Takuma in 11:07 with the La Magia de Dragon from Octagon on Takuma. I actually thought this was a pretty good match, although there was a botch towards the end with Rana on the apron from Octagon to Kento. And then, like, just like seemingly like a minute later, Octagon then pinned Takuma to win the match.
Yeah, that was very odd.
But otherwise, I thought it was pretty good. And they had like Dorian Rodon there. So this is like a serious. And then
I was shocked that they flew Dorian all the way to Japan.
Because Shima's on Triple Mania.
Ah, yeah. Okay, that does make sense. I mean, there are some people in like AAA that I think would actually fit up pretty well in Great. And I mean, that also, I think, I guess means like the whole like big lucha relationship is over as well. But it's also questionable whether or not Big Lucha even still exists. So does make sense. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, hopefully we'll see some, like, I mean, we've seen Psycho Clown and Noah and all of that. What I'm wondering is kind of what this means for, like, the Wagners and AAA.
Mm.
Right? Because...
Does it mean anything? I don't know.
I don't know if it does. I mean, but if AAA is going to be working with Great, then... Yeah, I don't know. Like, Mexican contracts are weird anyway. I mean, and we'll see if, like, anything more comes out of this. Like, it seems like the series, but, like, with AAA, you never know because... It's AAA, like they're very moody at the best of times and they're just a complete mess at the moment. So yeah, yeah. I really hope that something more comes out of this, but who knows? Like we might just be one Conan bong hit away from this just being completely gone.
Well, I don't think they're going to do anything stupid with itself, although there's not even that many wrestlers. I'm like, Octagon would be like one of the few and obviously like Vikingo and everything like that. It's not a list of guys I care about in AAA that I'd be like, oh, I'd like to see them in Japan or anything.
No, oh no, for sure not. And also, I mean, Great doesn't need like AAA's help to like do dumb booking, as we will get to later.
Yeah. So next up, we had Strong Hearts versus Black Generation International. Kotaro Suzuki, Harley Jackson, and So Demonji defeated T-Hawk, Takahiro Yamamura, and Seki Yoshioka in 6 minutes and 31 seconds with a Tiger Driver from Suzuki on Yamamura. Again, I thought solid match, and then it just kind of ended abruptly.
Ended. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's really like the biggest problem I have with the show is like it was too many matches. So like some of the undercard just literally got no time to breathe at all, and they kind of ended up a bit disappointing because they were just too short.
Yeah. And then Ryuichi Kawakami, great final match, or was it? Kazuyuki Fujita, Kendo Kashin, and Gamalas defeated Ryuichi Kawakami, Kazuma Sakamoto, and Quiet Storm in 5:36. Kick to the face for Fujita from Sakamoto. I don't know what the point of bringing these guys in for this match was, considering their price tag, I'm sure. And Kawakami's back, and he's calling himself like Ryuichi Fire Kawakami or something. So this sounds like this is just a gimmick.
But he's also shown up in DDT.
Oh, did he?
No, yeah, he showed up in DDT. Like, he's going to, like, work DDT as well.
Oh, so even if he's without a contract, he's not gone?
Yeah, it's completely weird. Like, I don't get what they're doing here. It's such a... I mean, genius move by Noah to just pawn off Fujita and Kashin on Great. That's very good, but, like... Yeah, I don't get it. It's just, why are we doing this? What's what's the plan here? I just don't... I mean, then again, there might just not be a plan, right? Because we had the whole, like, Michiko gets her own faction. Like, basically, we had the whole big storyline about Michiko Miyagi turning heel, getting her own faction, that faction then losing their first match, and now she's kind of now she's a face again, and she's the only one left as well.
Yeah.
So, but they still, like, bill her as from, like, Demon Egoist. like, is this what we're doing here as well, where Kawakami just gets this gimmick, and it just kind of goes nowhere, because profit, fun, I think we're overthinking this. This is, like, I really have a feeling they don't actually know what they're doing here.
Yeah, it's just a bizarre angle that's not building to anything, it feels like.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, well, let's get some heat on Kawakami. I don't know.
But then is he getting heat? Because I don't feel like he is, because he doesn't win. He doesn't ever win. That's whatever.
And then that Kaz Hayashi retirement match, G-Infinity tag title. Kaito Ishida and Tetsuya Izuchi defeated Kaz Hayashi and Shima in 14:56 with the half tiger suplex hold from Ishida on Hayashi to win the titles, and that was Hayashi's final match. I mean, I thought this was actually a pretty solid match. Now, this had like a sort of like, you know, your melodrama, because then, like, you know, Ishida and Izuchi started cheating, and then you had run-ins from like all the...
Yeah.
You know.
I really like the closing sequence of this, though. Like, this proper felt like basically Kaz Hayashi knowing, like, oh, once I lose this, like, it's over. Mm-hmm. So him just, like, continuously kicking out of Kaito Ishida, just, like, literally just taking everything he has and just throwing it at him multiple times, and then he finally is able to like basically like right to finish is like Izuchi like kicks Kasayashi in the face, and then Ishida hits the half tiger like suplex on him to pin him. So I did like the melodrama of that.
I still would have given Izuchi the pinfall.
Yeah, probably yes. But given that it's great, I'm just happy that they did the right thing here with Hayashi losing and not just like Shima hits a meteora and pins Izuchi and then Hayashi like vacates the title after. So
yeah. So that
it was the right call, and I would say it was probably either my second or third favorite match on the show.
Yeah. It was definitely one of the better matches of the show, absolutely. And then for the G-Rex title, Hayato Tamura defeated Yuki Ino in 20 minutes and 31 seconds with Lariat to make a sixth defense of the title. I'll say this, they really give these G-Rex champions mostly pretty good, solid runs here. I mean, there was that one, like, Kaito Ishida transitional reign, but otherwise it's been a good number of defenses.
Yeah, I mean, that's the weird thing, right? Like, that's like the one thing you can't really criticize them about. It's like they do actually give pretty, like, it's like basically everything they do around the booking of the titles that is just incredibly weird and nonsensical. Like, the actual booking of the titles themselves, those actually make sense. So it's very weird. It's like they do a terrible job of building people up for title shots, but then the actual title reigns are actually generally pretty solid. It's very weird.
Yeah.
And I like this match as well. I mean, I was a bit expectations.
Yes, it did. Because I thought, I was like, okay, I'm looking forward to this match. I thought they had a great start when they were running into each other with the shoulder blocks, and then they like outside the ring and running across the floor. And then it just sort of like, I don't know.
They kind of ran out of ideas.
And the last couple of minutes were okay, but yeah, it definitely came in under my expectations.
I mean, again, I think this match would have like benefited from getting like 5 minutes or so cut from it.
Yeah.
And then I think it would have been a lot better.
The time of everything is so off. Like,
yeah, that's the thing. You cut 5 minutes from this and you give it to like, you kind of spread that out a bit more over the undercard. And like some of those, I think, would be better. Like, even if you give them just 2 more minutes.
Yeah.
Then the other thing, I mean, we were talking about like they generally book their title reigns pretty well, but what is your opinion of basically kind of a, the whole show was built around generally like early on, especially like the whole like marketing was built around Kasayashi's retirement, and then B, kind of basically like that match and like the your main champion title essentially kind of coming in the mid card of the show? Like, I think bad, right? Even if I get that they're doing this whole Lee Dead UWS split, but it just, like, it doesn't work.
Yeah, no, it doesn't work. It's just, I don't know. I mean, some people, like, think this, I think this might be the worst book promotion.
Yes. No, it absolutely is the worst book promotion. It's not the worst promotion. There's too much like, great talent on this roster.
I generally enjoy shows mostly, right? I'm not.
Yeah. If you think great is the worst promotion, like, go and watch Real 01. Like, legit, yeah. Like, it's like that's a bad roster. That's a bad roster with some very brief, like, bright spots on there. But overall, old, like, even the young guys are okay at best.
Yeah.
You know, like, great talent doesn't go to Real 01. This roster is absolutely booked like shit. But the roster itself, if you put some decent booking on there, this could turn into a really hard promotion. Very easily, like with some slight tweaks, even like it doesn't even have to be like a big like turnaround. It just needs to be like more focused and like giving the young guys more wins and like building them up and not just constantly dropping them out to out to outsiders like they did for like the rest of the show.
And then we go to the Kota Ibushi, although this is technically under the UWF portion of the show.
Yeah.
Kota Ibushi Pro Wrestler 20th Anniversary Premium Exhibition. Kota Ibushi versus Daisuke Sakamoto went to a 5-minute. I gotta say, Ibushi didn't look too bad at all.
Okay. He looked better than he did against Marufuji. Now, it is impossible for him to have looked worse. Because that was still... I mean, I will say that forever when I talk about this match is... That match made me sad, and it made me leave the show early, and then the match got worse after I left. He looked better than he did there, but my big worry was that this was Ibushi's chance to show that he has learned his lesson.
Well, he's still not 100% recovered, though.
No, but I don't think he ever will be. That's the other thing. Like, this was his chance to show that, oh, I need to adjust my wrestling style because my body just can't do what it used to. And he didn't. Like, I mean, this was part of the dead, like, UWF stuff, right? And he still went to, like, he went to the top. Like, he took a while as well to get up there as well. Like, and he's like, it still seemed like a thing where he wanted to show it's like, no, guys, no, it's fine. I can still do all of these like high flying things when he should stop, you know, he should stop. And he's a great brawler. Like my favorite Ibushi match of all time is still that Wrestle Kingdom match against Nakamura, where he just like did the whole thing of him just going like insane and just like beating the shit out of Nakamura. Right. Like, he is a great, he should just lean into that, and he can still do that, and he would have, like, a great second, I mean, second half of his career might be a bit of a stretch, but, like, if he, like, adjusts his style, like, he could still have, like, a pretty good, like, late career, essentially. Whereas, he didn't really do that here, and yeah, he looked better, but, like, I don't think he's gonna get much better than this. And if he doesn't adjust his style, like, it's going to be rough. Like, it's going to be a rough couple of years for him. And I don't even know if he's going to last a couple of years if he doesn't tone some stuff down, to be honest.
And then next up, we had the UWF special match. Josh Barnett defeated Yu Iizuka in 3:22 via referee stop. Paul, I think this is one of my favorite matches on the show.
Really? Okay.
Well, yeah. Okay. So I was expecting... Well, I'm not surprised this went 3:22, but I thought, look, Barnett gave more to Iizuka than I was expecting. Like, Barnett had to use one of his, and I thought it was just like good striking, good mat work. You know, Iizuka got some shine. It wasn't a total squash. And I just, the work was very solid, like very good.
Mm-hmm. No, it definitely was really fun for like the 3 minutes. It just kind of was like, again, taking me off about like great booking in general. Although I will say, this wasn't the most egregious example of that.
But, well, no.
And also, obviously, I mean, I did go in, I mean, obviously, I went into this and I was like, yeah, okay, there is a 0% chance Yu Iizuka is beating Josh Barnett, because that isn't just great booking. That's just like, Josh Barnett is not going to lose to Yu Iizuka. Like, there's no way he agrees to do this. So, I agree as well. He gave him more than I expected, because I expected this to be like 30 seconds. So, like, the fact that this went like, it went 3 minutes longer than I expected it to. So, you know what? You've talked me into it. I actually like this. You know what? This was actually pretty good.
I don't think they were going to do anything with
it. Yeah.
I'm mildly impressed that they finally decided to put a title on it. He also felt like maybe he was,
stuck in purgatory forever.
Yeah. And then next up, speaking of bad booking, Lynette UWF Rules, Shina Aoki defeated Elle Lindemann at 8:38 with a wrist lock. I thought this was going to go to a 15-minute draw, Paul. You know why? Because in the last like year or so, Shina Aoki has gotten to 15-minute draws with Chihiro Hashimoto and Dan Tamura. But he somehow put away Elle Lindemann in like 8.5 minutes.
Oh, this promotion is so fucking stupid. Oh, God.
This was also, as an Aoki grappling match, this is like on the lower end of that. Al Lindemann just doesn't seem...
No. Yeah, it's been pretty obvious. Like, I think it's really been a case since he lost the D-Rex title.
Yeah.
I think we're kind of like, I think we both are kind of early on the like, oh, maybe a Lindemann just doesn't give a shit anymore. Yeah, because
they shuffled him off the PWF junior champion.
Yeah, which was like, because I still remember going into that ring being like, oh my God, yes, a Lindemann. And then by the end, we were both like, oh God, well, they finally took the title off of him. Jesus Christ.
To be fair, I thought the match that Dan won was pretty good.
Yes, it was.
And I thought his match against Gresham was pretty good, but that was clear because Gresham wanted to, like, I want to have a great match with this guy.
Yeah. I mean, but also, like, I think another good example of, like, how bad the Lindemann reign was because, again, I was live in the building, and I was basically, I hadn't eaten yet that day, and I was incredibly hungry, and I had, I was basically, like, looking at the card, and I was like, you know what, when I can go out and grab some food, because I literally had to leave the arena to grab food. Was like, oh yeah, a Lindemann. I don't need to rewatch all of that. And then I came back. I was like, yeah, you know what? What I watched of the match was pretty good. But also early on, I was like, yeah, I can probably skip out on the Lindemann match. Which, if you had asked me like 3 years ago, like a Lindemann is like wrestling Dan Tamura in like a title match on an All Japan show, I would have been like, yeah, I will be locked in. There's no way I'm leaving for that. So he hasn't really recovered since then, I feel like. But, like, even with all of that, it's just, like, it's terrorist booking to have Shinya Aoki go over here. Especially what they were doing later. Like there's, it's just indefensible. Like, no. if this would have gone down the road and, like, okay, Shinya Aoki challenges Nakajima, spoiler. Yeah, okay, fine. But they didn't. They went around, like, a Lindemann just got fucking punked out by Shinya Aoki, and now he's challenging Nakajima most likely. And it's like, what the fuck are we doing here? Even if they had done Barnett Nakajima, that would have made more sense. You know what? Actually, that's a match I want to see.
So then in the main event, the Ledette UWF World Title decision match, Katsuhiko Nakajima defeated Takanori Ito in 11 minutes and 6 seconds via referee stop. I like this match. I thought it was actually pretty good. And I like Nakajima getting a yellow card for doing like the showtime and everything like that, right?
Yeah, no, that was really cool because it's like, look, man, this is a shoot style match. You can't do like your bullshit here that like actually is actually illegal for once. You're not going to get like a counted thing. Like, you're just straight up get a yellow card for this.
Yeah. And like they built it up. They both had knockdowns and submissions. They were both down to like 1 or 2 points, right? By the end of this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then they started just kicking the crap out of each other, and then Ito couldn't get back up. Or was that a Northern Lights bomb as well? Yeah, there was a Northern Lights bomb.
Yeah, he did use the Northern Lights bomb, yeah.
And everything. So, I mean, probably my favorite match of the show, actually.
Yeah, same. No, I like this one the most. Like, I don't think I would go Notebook on this. I think it came in just slightly under that. Yeah, just slightly. But definitely my favorite match on the show. It does make sense that Nakajima wins here and everything. I was just like, if I look at like the last 3 matches, I was already like a little bit of like, you know, like you just ended one of your biggest show with like 3 outsiders going over. But again, this one does make sense. I think Nakajima holding his title, I think it does have a chance of like revitalizing Great a bit as well. Like it did. Well, I mean, he didn't revitalize All Japan. Like they were already hot when he came in. But
yeah,
he definitely did them some good as well. And I think he's going to do good for Great as well.
He's had some words, and we'll get to those a little later.
Are you ready for Ledette UWF Suwama?
I'll just make a note. DDT, what are you doing on June 30th at Korakuen Ball? The main event, which is a Road to Peter Pan match of Mao and Toy versus defeating Yuki Ueno and Shunma Katsumata. Very good match. Go out of your way to see it. I can't say I was one of my top 10 matches of the year, but I would definitely say like I'd go like 4.25 in one of the better tag matches. So okay. Check that out. And then a quick DDT Peter Pan preview. We got Keigo Nakamura, Yuki Ishida, and Kazuma Sumi versus Yuya Kuroku in Illusion, Toru Owashi, Hisamaru Tajima, and Shinichiro Kawamatsu versus Makoto Oishi, Soma Takawa, and Munenori Sawa. Very rare appearance from Sawa. Mm-hmm. Special 6-man tag match, Minoru Suzuki, Shuji Ishikawa, Hikaru Sato versus Jun Akiyama, Yuki Onaya, and Tomitsu Mutsunaga.
I wonder who's taking the pin in this one.
Special singles match, Super Sasadango Machine versus Kazuki Harada. That's going to be 20 minutes with everything, you know.
Yeah, I was about to say, like, yeah, it's like 50 minutes of a PowerPoint presentation.
KOD 6-man tag team title survival 4-way match, Hirashiba, Yasu, Ureno, and that's someone I haven't thought about in a while, and Akito, who are the champions, versus Daisuke Sasaki, Cannon, and MJ Paul, versus Aja Kong, Shunma Katsumata, and Toy, versus Masahiro Takanashi, Antonio Honda, and Takeshi Masada. KOD tag team titles, Tetsuya Endo and Yuki Ino versus Go Shiozaki and Atsushi Kotoge. DDT had a show today and yesterday, and it's not up yet, but the main event was Go Shiozaki versus Yuki Ino, and I want to see that.
Yeah, actually.
Special singles match, Kenosuke Takeshita versus Masato Tanaka. I have a feeling this is going to be a little better than the match we just talked about, but...
Yeah, I feel like as well. I'm kind of like... I did complain about it earlier, like when we talked about it originally, but I do think it is actually going to be a pretty good...
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It'll be great. And then Shinsuke Takagi, indefinite rest road final. So Takagi's taken a leave of absence for a while from wrestling, a hiatus. It's a weapon rumble. So Shinsuke Takagi versus Danshuko Dino. I'm sure there will be many comedy and run-ins. I can sort of imagine everything that's going to happen in the match. And then dramatic dream match, Al Desperado versus Chris Brooks. And KOD openweight title, Yuki Ueno versus Mao, which I think is going to be
wild. Oh, it's going to rock. Awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. So this is like a typical DDT big show. I'll probably watch it live, but I might do some other stuff during some other matches and stuff like that. I'll give like the Takagi versus Dino weapon rumble like the first 5 minutes to see if it captures my attention.
At least. I mean, I won't watch it live because I'll be in Warsaw with a friend, so that's probably not happening, but I will definitely go back and watch it for sure. Actually, before we move on as well, there's something actually I forgot to put on a run sheet, and it's DDT related. Mm-hmm. Well, it is a DDT one. I watched the Sanshiro Takagi Minoru Suzuki match on a tram.
You said it was it was pretty good.
Yeah, it was actually okay. It is pretty good. But I will also say it is probably a match you should watch while you also do something else. Because it is very long, like it is like 60 minutes basically. And like it's basically just like there's a bunch of fun. Like it seemed like everybody on board was having a blast. Like they even had to the governor of Tokyo involved in the whole thing.
I saw that clip.
Yeah. it's even early on when they did the entrances, she got like her own like little entrance, and basically Suzuki tried to intimidate her during his entrance. It didn't really work, but still. there was a bunch of fun stuff like that. There was like a bunch of like interesting, like there was a bunch of like fun cameos. Like Unagi Sayaka showed up. 37 Kamina showed up. Hikaru Sato showed up. Actually, Unagi Sayaka showed up with all of her bells, basically she like just appeared on the tram and just with like all of her bells on her, like she's Ultimo Dragon. You had Takayuki Ueki show up with a gun because he's a former cop. The whole thing ended with like Suzuki shooting him and then like kicking him off the tram. And then towards the final, we had an appearance of Officer Liger. Very fun match. A lot of filler in there because obviously like a lot of that is just them going up and down on the tram, like chopping each other and all of that, or like cutting promos. You know what? You actually have an appearance of WWE superstar Meiko Satomura.
Oh, okay. A rare appearance.
Yeah. She like basically she came on when there was like some like artist on board who was like singing his song, and then she appeared and then she also started singing as well. And yeah, it's kind of wild. Like it's very wacky, it's very funny. I can definitely recommend it, but that's what I mean. Like it's probably you want to like set aside some time, maybe like while you're like, I don't know, cleaning or something, or like doing something else, and then you kind of like watch this like the like fun stuff, and then you kind of like ignore all of the filler stuff in the middle of it. Like it is definitely more of an experience than it is a match, is the best way of describing.
And then so we go on pro wrestling. Oh, wait, no, I'm sorry. I know what I was going to say because I forgot to put on the run sheet. I think we got to sort of address this. Do you see the stuff going on with like Onita and Dory Funk Jr.?
Oh, yeah, where he wants to bring over Dory.
Yeah. So for the, coming.
Yeah, for the because it's the Terry Funk something. There was some anniversary with Terry, right?
Yeah. Because it no, I was gonna say no, it's the 30. No, because I was like, is it the 30th anniversary of their death match? But that was in 93. But I think it's like the first anniversary of Funk's death.
That might have been it. It definitely was something Terry related, and that's why he's like, I'm gonna bring over Dory.
Yeah, and also Osamu Nishimura, who's battling cancer, has also said he'd wrestle. It sounds like Dory might even wrestle, but it's not going to be an exploding match.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't know where. I don't know.
It's been a while since I've last seen Dory Funk Jr., and he was already not well back then. And that's been like a solid 5 years at least. I mean, how old is that man now? Like,
he's 83.
Yeah. I mean, he started wrestling in 1963, so.
Yeah, he's 83, yeah.
Yeah, so. And he last had a match in 2018. So it's actually even longer than I remember. Like, I thought the whole, like, All Japan run was in, like, 2019, but it was in 2017. So, yeah, I don't know. We'll see. I mean, I don't even know if Funk even wants to do the Japan flight at that age. Like, that's a lot that, like, I getting on that plane at, like, age 83 for, like, 13 hours.
I think it's like his last trip.
Basically, yes. Quite literally, it might be. His last match was actually with Nishimura.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, knock yourself out, but we'll see how this one goes.
I mean,
here's the thing. If Onita and Dory actually wrestle against each other, Dory's still going to be better than Onita is now. So,
yeah, that's very possible. So moving on quickly to Pro Wrestling Noah. I watched the main event of the show on the 29th. That was Kaito Kiyomiya Kenno and Yoshiaki Fujiwara and Gaina defeating Yoichi Kazuyuki Fujita, Ryohei Oiwa, and Yuo Wada in 24-54 when Kenno pinned Owada with a PFS. Mm-hmm. Look, this is a pretty good match, but Fujiwara shouldn't be in the ring. I mean, his legs look like they're about to implode.
Yep.
And he can do some slaps and headbutts. He can't even do like holds because he can't really get on the ground to apply holds.
I think it was still like for a while, like he's one of those guys that was still pretty good for like way longer than people really expected him to. And he was pretty good for his age. But at this point, it's like, no, like he's literally like at like great Kojika stage at this point, where he just actually can't do anything at all.
Kojika
anymore.
Doesn't quite look like he's going to fall over as badly as Fujiwara. As
True. I mean, Kojika also doesn't need to get on the ground to apply holds, which I think that's really the main issue here because he can't bend down. But otherwise, I think this was a good match though. And I like what they're doing with Yoichi as well.
I mean, I thought, the stuff around, like the Kiyomiya and Yoichi stuff was great. Mm-hmm. And I am very much looking to their match, which we'll get into in a second. I mean, Noah had a couple other shows I haven't seen because Wrestle just finally put them up.
Like today.
And they didn't, they put up the shows on the 4th and the 6th, from the 4th and the 6th. Didn't see the show on the 7th get put up. So I can't tell you, but I bet you all of those like main events with like tags, like look at this. This on the 7th, Yoichi and Ryohei Oiwa defeated Kaito Kiyomiya and Kenno in 1725.
Mm-hmm.
With a diving body press from Yoichi on Kiyomiya.
There's no way that isn't good, yeah.
Yeah, I would love to see that match. So, well, unfortunately, no. But
so weird that it takes them so long to upload these shows.
I know. I mean, I think it's like some sort of like. I mean, I still don't get the argument behind like having a steady stream of stuff. Just do it as it goes.
I mean, you have enough promotions on Wrestle Universe at this point to have like a.
But I think like. I don't know. I think probably they think that if you do a weekend where it's not unusual to have like Noah DDT and like Tokyo Joshi all running shows, be putting up like three shows a day all weekend. I don't know. I mean, there are that was last weekend.
I mean, how many people actually watch like all promotions on Wrestle Universe as well? That's
yeah, nobody does. Nobody watches everything on Wrestle Universe.
No.
There's that. We went over the Budokan show on our last episode. Paul, do you have anything to add to it?
No, I mean, the only thing maybe we can touch on a little bit is like the comments from Marufuji about him being like he would like to see more WWE people come over. I mean, at this point, I think it's pretty safe to say like they're gonna have like at least someone, maybe like two or three people in the N1, right? Like at this point, that feels like a pretty safe assumption that there are there's going to be at least one person from WWE in the N1, maybe multiple.
Yeah.
No idea who, and I don't think it's even worth speculating because who the fuck knows? Because it literally could be prominent people. It literally could be like nobody you've ever heard from NXT. We'll see what it actually will be.
And would you say you still expect Marufuji to win or Marufuji to lose to AJ Styles?
I don't. I mean, it doesn't really matter, does it? Right? It doesn't. It genuinely doesn't really matter which of these wins here.
You know what? Since I would say that if Marufuji wins, we're getting that Cody and Marufuji match.
Oh yeah, that's true. I forgot about the Cody comments. So they're gonna have like Marufuji challenge Cody for the title.
I don't know.
Okay, that would actually be kind of cool. I'm not gonna lie, that actually would be kind of cool.
Yeah, I'd watch it. I'm not gonna lie.
When's the last time like the WWE, like that has to be WWF, obviously, like was like defended in like Japan? It had to. I don't know if Hogan ever did that or like.
Okay,
Savage?
So last time, no. Last time it was ever done, like you mean the title itself or the title against someone in Japan, like Japanese?
No. Like that the title was defended in Japan, like on not a WWF, like maybe like a co-promoter show.
I believe.
Not like one of the like house shows that they ran. Yeah.
Paul, I believe the very first War show was a 2 out of 3 fall match, Tenryu versus Ric Flair for the title.
Oh, yeah, it was. Yeah. That probably was like the last and maybe like only time that has ever happened.
And then there was like SWS.
Yeah. Did was one of the Shawn Michaels matches ever like a title match?
What Shawn Michaels?
No, he didn't. He have like a couple of matches in War.
Shawn Michaels?
Didn't he? Did I just like Mandela effect that?
I doubt it. I do not remember. I mean, he was in SWS, but that's.
Oh yeah, he didn't. Okay, then I. Okay, never mind. Okay, he just had SWS matches. Never mind. Okay.
I'm now looking at his SWS run.
What a run that was.
King Haku and Yoshiaki Yatsu defeat the Rockers.
Oh God. Oh no. Oh no. You know what? I just thought of. You know what's the worst case scenario?
What?
We're getting the fucking Tongans in the N1. Like I'm like, oh man, no, I don't have to watch Tangaloa in the G1 this year. This is great. And then he's in the N1. It's like, no.
I actually
monkey paw ass moment.
I don't think that's gonna happen because I think they need.
Yeah, that's why I'm like, I don't even know who to like I feel like there is going to be someone from there in the N1, but I literally have no fucking idea who it even would be because it would be someone that they would be willing to give up, but I also don't know if Noah would be like, yeah, sure, we'll take some random NXT person nobody knows.
Yeah. So that is Noah. I'm actually quite excited for this Budokan show. I think a lot will happen.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and I still have to like take my trip to Jollibee's to order the show.
Yeah. And then so we move on to All Japan. So first bit of news, big announcement from the Saito brothers was they have a photo book coming out.
Do we know if it's just normal photos or if it's going to be a gravure photo book?
It is not a gravure. It is not. I can confirm.
No, but I mean, that's just more evidence of like All Japan just being like all in on these guys, right?
Yeah.
Because when's the last time, like, have they even ever done that? Put out photo books? Like, that's not really like a thing.
Was there a Nextreme photo book?
There might have been. But yeah, I mean, but even then, that one was like a while ago. Because I think they might have done, like, because, right, that would have been like Jake era Nextreme. So that's a really long time ago.
Just a couple of recent shows. On June 29th at the Kashima Sports Center in front of 428 fans, I really thought that the main event of Dan Tamura's triumphant return, because this is his hometown, the Yuma Anzai and Raikou Honda defeating Suwama and Dan Tamura in 24:51 with a gimlet from Anzai and Tamura. That was a great match. You should go out and watch.
Yeah, absolutely. For sure. That was so much fun.
Okay, sorry.
And Dan was super over. I mean, obviously he was, but Jesus Christ.
Yeah, no, great. Like, you know, I could see, like, you know, Dan and Suwama actually having, like, an actual full-blown tag run.
They should just move him up to heavyweight. Like, I get that he's been, like, a lot of fun in the junior division, but I feel like you should just move him up to heavyweight.
I mean, you could do what you did with Shuji Kondo and just make him in a heavyweight tag team, even if he's not in the singles.
Yeah, true. Right? Yeah, no, and that actually would work.
And that was, and Suwama was Kondo's partner for that.
Yeah. So that actually works. Yeah.
Yeah. Also, the semi-main Jun Saito, Rei Saito, and Mr. Saito, Naruki Doi, defeating Kento Miyahara, Yuma Aoyagi, and Musashi. Very good. And Rising Hado defeating Ryo Inoue was also a very good match.
Mm-hmm. Just real quick, who do you think is going to be the new member of the Saitos?
I genuinely don't know. I mean, people are posting Shisha. I saw someone else say Super Shisha in the...
in the Discord, yeah.
In the VOW Discord, yeah. But he is a Saito. So
yeah, but then again, like, like, literally the one with Naruki Doi is like my mom's maiden name is Saito. I feel like there's literally no criteria here.
Yeah, exactly. So, and then also they had a show on the 30th, which the main event, Yuma Anzai, Ryan Ayabe, and Rising Hayato defeated Jun Saito, Rei Saito, and Mr. Saito. When Hayato pinned Doi, sort of reversing what had happened because Doi pinned. No, wait, sorry, that's wrong. Doi had pinned Musashi the day before. But interesting that I thought Hayato getting a pin on Doi leading into this match. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I could see Doi winning because they seem to be
I do think Doi's Saito faction. Yeah.
Yeah. Semi-main event was Ryuki Honda defeating Cyrus in 9-17 with Lariat. I mean, Honda tried, but like I said, yeah. I'm done with Cyrus singles matches.
I'm just happy they gave Honda the win here. Like, I was fully expecting Cyrus to win this.
Oh,
but like, I was very happy that actually, like, yeah, the match itself was whatever, but at least they gave it a completely correct result here.
Mm-hmm. Other matches on the show worth seeing: Musashi defeated Ryo Inoue in the opener, and mm-hmm. Suwama defeated Sego Tachibana in 10:49 with a referee stop after several backdrops suplexes, and I thought that was a lot of fun.
I mean, I will say, like, the whole show, like, not that there was anything like super notebook worthy or anything. But I will say, for like a random house show stop, like, this was a really good show, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I would say, like, if you just want to watch like a wrestling show, like, that kind of breezes by, like, everything has like the right amount of time as well. Like, this is kind of the type of show you should like go for. Like, it was just nothing here that I could be like, yeah, this was bad. Like, everything was good, basically. At worst, like, even Honda Cyrus, which I think was like the worst match, was like not like terrible. Mm-hmm. So it was just top to bottom. I would just be like, you know what? I like, that's the thing. Like, I walked away from the show and be like, you know what? I enjoyed that a lot more than I thought going in, because it was just this random house show and I was like going in not expecting anything. And then I walked away and be like, you know what? This was like perfectly booked. And yeah, I don't know. I don't have any deeper thoughts on that, really.
And then on the July 4th, New Age Chronicle New Age Chronicle number five from Shinkiba. 338 fans, Super No Vacancy, full house. Dan Tamura defeated Ryo Inoue in 12:35 with a powerbomb. Again, very good. Hokuto Mori defeated Jack Kennedy in 9:38 with the frog splash, meaning that this frog splash is now Hokuto's new finisher, which is actually not a bad thing for him. Paul, thoughts on Jack Kennedy? Because he looks like he's a regular now.
I mean, solid.
Yeah.
He hasn't really blown me away yet. Well, I think he could definitely improve on the look department.
I think he's trying.
Yeah.
I don't have any strong thoughts on Jack Kennedy. So no. I would say keep booking him and improve.
Yeah. Oh, no, definitely. Like, he's one of those guys. You know what? I feel like I said, he hasn't blown me away yet. So he's not like an obvious, like, instant success, like, for example, Jack Morris was. But it's definitely like, you know what, give him some chances, like, see if he develops. If not, then like, you literally don't lose anything, and if you do, then maybe you have like a bit of a diamond in the rough.
And then three-way match, Rei Saito defeated Jun Saito and Seko Tachibana with the Eisbein on Rei using the Eisbein on Tachibana. That was a fun comedy match, but it was a lot of fun. Those three, actually, it works with those three.
And I mean, it was basically a handicap match as well.
Basically. Celebrating the New Age Chronicles Z graduation match, I thought this event, the New Age Chronicles, were ending. Although your point was, or someone's point, was it yours that this was?
Like, it was mine.
Yuma Aoyagi. Yeah. Yuma Aoyagi graduation, because he's now surpassed 10 years in the business.
Yeah. I mean, it didn't really feel like that, though, during the show. That's the thing. So I feel like you might have actually been correct, and this is just done now.
We'll see. Because I think, like, they're just trying to, like, integrate them now with the whole faction aid, right?
I mean, it's also, like... I mean, also this, like, the fifth time All Japan has done this gimmick where they run, like, a couple of shows for, like, the young generation under, like, a different name.
You know, I'll say this. It would be more viable to do long-term if you switched it up, some of the young guys every time.
Right?
Like, I mean, from, like, different companies or, like, be like, okay, we're going to give some indie guy that's, like, 21 years old that no one's seen before a chance.
Yeah, which they didn't really do here, like... Because, yes, it's, like, less than 10 years, but some of these people are, like, in their mid-30s. So I don't really feel like the gimmick really worked that well this time. Right? But, like, the last time they did it, I think that's, like, one of the ways they, like, discovered Rising Higher, though. Whereas that's not what they did here at all this time around.
Yeah.
I guess maybe Jack Kennedy, but, like, that's a bit of a stretch.
Yeah, so it was Yuma Anzai, Ryoki Honda, Rising Hado, and Rene Abe, Alpida defeating Yuma Aoyagi, Shitaro Shino, Kuma Arashi, Fuminori Abe in 1738 with a gimlet from Anzai on Arashi. He really does want to destroy his neck.
He really wants to show, like, no, guys, this finisher is a good idea. Look, I can do it to Kuma Arashi. Yeah. We'll see if he sticks with it. Whatever. At this point, I'm kind of resigned myself to it. It's like either someone will talk him into like, dude, this is stupid, stop it. Or, I don't know. We'll see.
And then we had the graduation battle royale. Sego Tachibana defeated everyone. And there was Rei Seto. And then, so we got Rei Seto over the top rope, which was hilarious, right? And it was like, once again, it came down to Jun, Rei, and Tachibana. And he like managed to use his trickery to get to win.
Yeah.
And so you also had everyone else on the show, right? Like Kuma Arashi, Yoshino, Tamura, Kennedy, Aoyagi, Ayabi, Inoue, Anzai, and Honda, and Hayato.
I mean, that's what we're saying, right? Like the booking was just really solid of this. Like when it came down to like the Saitos and Tachibana, I was like, oh shit, Tachibana's actually going to win this because he had lost to them early in the show. So I was like, okay, it just makes perfect sense for him to like win here. And like it's very simple, but like effective. It's like the way I will describe All Japan's booking at the moment.
And we'll get into that in a minute. So we got previous year because All Japan has released a bunch of cards. So we'll go in order, even though all of our conversation will be about this first show. So on July 13th at Osaka Edeon Arena number 2, we got Super Delphin and Super W versus Hirakata Nissan and Flying Penguin. I have no idea what to expect from this because I've only seen one of the wrestlers in that match.
A lot of seafood references since when Osaka.
Yeah. Dan Tamura and Ryo Inoue versus Hideki Suzuki and Hikaru Sato. That could be cool.
Mm-hmm.
We got Hokuto Omori, Kuma Arashi, Cyrus, and Jack Kennedy versus Kurashiro Tokyo Japan, Sego Tachibana, Musashi, and Seki Yoshioka. Shotaro Shino and the Bodyguard versus Ryuki Honda and Rene Abe. I pray to God the bodyguard does the job here.
They really should, but like...
Ashina.
Yeah, I don't know. I really hope he doesn't. It should be bodyguard. Come on, man. or it's Honda if they want to like do something with Ashina, but you know.
Yeah.
Hope dies last.
Yeah. PWF World Junior Heavyweight Title, Rising Hado versus Mr. Sadanuki Doi. And we think that Doi could be winning this one.
Mm-hmm.
I get that vibe too. World Tag Team Title, Jun Seto and Rei Seto versus Kento Miyahara and Yuma Aoyagi. And for the Triple Crown, Yuma Anzai versus Suwama. Now, Paul, before we get to this Triple Crown match, why have they loaded up an Edeon Arena number 2 show?
Like this, yeah. This is more support than they gave Zeus when he won the Triple Crown.
Yes.
In number 1.
Right. And also, so that World Tag Title match is interesting because that show in Sendai is like on August
4th. Mm-hmm.
Now, you could draw your own conclusions about what might be the main event in Sendai.
I mean, I feel like they're going to free up the Saitos by taking the titles off of them.
Okay.
Who is your current prediction to win the Triple Crown match?
Paul, I might be working myself into a shoot, but I really think so.
No, because I've kind of been watching you do that in real time. Yeah. So I had a feeling that that's where you're going to go. Because you know what the funny thing is? All of the things that have been happening have convinced me that Tsubame is definitely not winning. So feel like we've come to completely different conclusions here.
Oh, did you say that you think Tsubame is losing?
Yes, like with him and Nakajima and all of that convinces me he's losing.
Oh, can I convince you that so the All Japan website has also said that at the Osaka show there will be new Tsubame towels as well.
I don't think towels are enough. If it was like a shirt, yeah. Towels I don't think are enough. Okay, because so here's my thing and why like I think Tsubame is losing. So A, I think Doi is winning. B, I think Kento and Yuma are winning. So, like, the story, I feel like it's going to be, like, oh, like, the two young guys have already lost. Does that mean that Anza is also going to lose in the main event? And then he, like, overcomes Tsubame, and it's, like, Suwama's last hurrah, and then he, like, gets put away by Anza. I think that's a good story. And then Tsubame, after that, already has, like, set up this whole thing with, like, Nakajima. But Nakajima already holds a title. Nakajima already holds now the UWF Lidette-like title, right? So they're not going to do a like title-for-title match between like Tsubame and Nakajima. And I don't think Great even would be... like. Yes, I get that they already dropped out the like G-Rex champion in a Triple Crown match. But that was also like extenuating circumstances of Shotaro Shino breaking his arm. So I still don't think that Great would be like, ah, yeah, sure, we'll drop out Nakajima against Tsubame, or we'll do like a title for title match or whatever. Like, I feel like Tsubame already having something else build up now leads me to believe that like he's not going to be involved in a Triple Crown picture anymore. And that's why he's also like, yeah, this is like the last time I'll do this. Which again, as you were saying, makes it even weirder that they put this in number two. Because I feel like Suwama's last Triple Crown match might be worthy of number one.
Or even just Korakuen.
Yeah.
Or Yoyogi or Yokohama Budokan or something.
You know what, actually? Okay, now I'm actually curious. Where was his first ever, like, Triple Crown? The first time he ever challenged for it? Okay, yeah, no, never mind.
Where was it?
It was in Arau in Kumamoto in the Mitsui Greenland Amusement Park Rainbow Dome.
And who was it against?
Kojima, so yeah, no,
there's nothing
there. There's no, like, it was like, maybe it was in Osaka, and maybe that's why, but like, yeah, okay, no, this is completely unrelated. And then the first time he won it was actually on his second ever challenge, which that's pretty good, actually, in Nagoya. So yeah, okay, there's no connection there at all.
That interesting.
But yeah, so- but yeah, you're thinking that Tsubame's going to win.
Well, no. I'm not convinced, and I'm concerned that I'm overthinking this. I'm thinking from a business sense, is like, I don't understand why you're loading this up when you also have, look at the rest of their August schedule, right? You're burning off a lot in the smallest venue of all of those. The three shows, the Triple Crown matches in August, I assume are all bigger than Edion number two. They got to be, right? I mean, Edion number two holds like 1,000 people tops.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then, like, Tsubame just announced it after the match had already been announced. It just, I don't know. Okay, so tied to this is, what do you think is actually going on with Nakajima? Is he just running an angle because he's a little enfant terrible in his own way? Or is this, like, a legit angle? Because my reasoning why it's legit is because if he's really burned all of his bridges, then I don't think, why would Tokyo Sports carry this to piss off all Japan? Mm-hmm.
And also B, I definitely don't think it's an angle I do think it's like basically a thing of like they're going to do the match, because why else was like Hideki getting involved and being like, yeah, I'm like Suwama's manager for this match, basically, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So that like I think makes it very clear to me that like they are actually planning on doing it. It's just, I don't think it's going to be a Triple Crown match.
Okay. So you don't see like... Tsubame as a transitional champion to get the belt back on Nakajima, then to build to another Kento match. I mean,
you could do that. You can also just do that with like You can also do it with Anzai defense against a Saito and Sendai, and then Nakajima beats Suwama, comes back, and then beats Anzai, and then we build to another Kento match. Like that, like both of those still work.
Yeah. I mean, I probably look like a fool, and Anzai will just, I don't know. I can't get it out of my head is what I'm saying.
No. I mean, I can definitely see where it's coming from, especially because it's Suwama and with everything that they've announced and all of that. I can definitely see it. To me, it's like with them doing this whole Nakajima thing and with him holding another title, I think especially is the thing for me where I'm like, that's why I said, I hope you're ready for like lead dead UWF Suwama. Like this feels more like Suwama is going to go shoot style instead of like, they're going to do a triple crown match between these two.
Okay.
Like we're going to get like vignettes of him like training to do like shoot style matches with Hideki Suzuki.
And then, so for the rest of the Summer Action Series tour on the 14th, we got Yuma Aoyagi versus Seki Yoshioka, Rei Seto versus Musashi.
That actually should be a ton of fun.
Suwama and Hikaru Sato versus Shitaro Ishino and Hideki Shrek.
Mm-hmm.
Yokohama. Oh, also, Paul, they're having an Evolution show on the
15th. Which is basically just an All Japan show at this point.
Yeah. So Age of Fools versus Saito Brothers Special Six-Man Tag Match. Suwama Hideki versus Jun Saito, Rei Saito, and Mr. Saito Nuki Doi. Dan Tamer versus Hikaru Sato. Yuma Enzai and Rising Hado versus Ryuki Hanna and Masashi Takeda. That sounds... Hokuto Mori and X. Oh, God. Or maybe that's Cyrus now, because that could be an old thing.
But, like, Cyrus isn't...
Oh, no, Cyrus is already on this. Yeah.
And he's in a faction with Hokuto. That doesn't make any sense.
So Yuma Aoyagi versus Jack Kennedy, that pencil that because I think that will be a an interesting test for him.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Oh no. Okay. So on the All Japan website, the X is Cyrus.
Oh. Okay. So it is Cyrus versus Jiro and Tachibana. Okay.
And then Kento Miyahara and Musashi versus Shotaro Shino and Ryo Inoue. That's actually a pretty good show.
Yeah.
And then
big test for Jack, as you said, but that main event, I'm looking forward to that one.
And then on the 20th at Korakuen Hall, All Asia Tag Team Title, Musashi versus and Seki Yoshioka versus Mr. Saito and Naruki Doin. Next Dream Final. Finally, it's gone. Oh, it's over. Next Dream after almost 10 years.
Probably. It died like two different times and then Kento just brought it back.
Kento Miyahara and versus Rising Hayato. And then the Kohei Wada 50th anniversary match. Suwama, Dan Tamura, and Taka Omori versus Masanobu Fuchi, Jun Saito, and Rei Saito. Paul, in case you're wondering, you've got Suwama in there with one of the Saitos on the show before the one. I'm just looking for any connections.
That probably. But then again, we don't even know what Anza is doing yet on the show either. Right, because he hasn't been announced for any. He hasn't been announced yet for the show.
Yeah.
So yeah, we'll see. Also, I looked it up. Next Dream got to 9 years. Well, it depends. Wow. Like as a tag team, they started in 2015. As a stable, they started in 2016.
Okay.
So, I mean, that's pretty long. Like, even 8 years as a stable is a pretty long run.
Oh, for sure. So, that is All Japan. Paul, you'll have to talk me off of the ledge here. I don't know. I'm like 51-49 Suwama.
Oh wow, really?
I don't know. It's just
okay.
I just feel like I don't know. It just seems like you've left too much. Like this is the same thing with like Tanahashi not being in the G1. I think that is promotional malpractice if he's not in it next year and they don't bill it as his last run.
Okay? So you would make the okay. But here's my thing.
I just think you need to like maximize these.
True. But my thing was basically, if you remember the match they did with Yuma Aoyagi and Suwama last year, and the way that all was built up. And what I said after that match is like, that felt like the last time Suwama is like a credible Triple Crown challenger. Because that's just like the way they build that up with like all of the like melodrama and everything of like the video package and everything. And then it like basically the match was just like Yuma Aoyagi is just better. And then, I mean, that's kind of what like the Yuma Anzai Suwama match was during the Champion Carnival as well, right? So I just feel like they just really downcycling Suwama now, and maybe he also just doesn't really want that, like you know, sometimes guys just don't want it either, right? I mean, look at like how Jun Akiyama like downcycled himself.
Yeah.
Wait, he never really did that. Yeah.
He never did a big bang, like
Okay. You know what, Gerard? I have a great comparison for you for exactly this type of situation.
Is it Jun Akiyama's last Triple Crown challenge was in Hakata Starlanes?
Yeah, it was in Hakata Starlanes. So that's an even smaller building, and it was 605 people in there. So if Suwama getting Eddie on Arena 2 is an upgrade over that.
Oh, I mean, Hakata Star Lanes is a legendary venue.
The Body Maker is one too. I'm sorry.
Yeah, maybe that's all it is. Suwama just decided, I'm done, I guess.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It's just, I think it's more like I don't trust, like, as much as this company has done, like, almost everything right, I still don't trust it from reverting to, like, type. From, you know,
just going back to Suwama. I mean that is very fair. But it also to me already last year, the match with Yuma felt like the last time of like Suwama as like Suwama, essentially, for better lack of pearl, you know. So that's why I'm also, for this one, I'm like, no, I think this is just like, give him his last hurrah, he puts over the kid one more time, and then he just goes into like old man status after that. And just, I mean, he already is goofing off for like a good chunk of like what he's doing during the year.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely.
He kept this promotion alive for long enough. Give him his rest.
Well, also, one reason I don't think he might not be winning is like, so Sendai Girls has a show later on that, or earlier that day, in Edion number 2. And the Sendai Girls account retweeted that, like, that it was a doubleheader basically with All Japan, right? Which makes me think that they might do an angle for the 6-man titles.
That's the other thing. Can't have your Triple Crown champion slumming it up with the All Japan TV 6-man titles.
Which he holds.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, like, the more I think about it, the less sense it makes. Like, Suwama has so much other stuff going on. He has like that Nakajima thing. He has the like thing he still has going with Ozaki and all of that. And yeah, no, I think Ansai is just winning this. I think we get 2 title changes on that, and that's how they're gonna tease it. It's like, oh, Suwama gonna win, and then Ansai ultimately.
Okay. Well, look, if Suwama does win, don't say I didn't tell you. But
fair. I don't think either of our stances are really unreasonable here.
Yeah. I mean, look, you're probably right, but I just can't shift in my head.
No, it is. I mean, literally been conditioned about this for years. We're like, 2 years away from the Jake thing.
Here's the thing, right? Like, in 2020, when he won, I was like, oh, this is a transitional reign. To be fair, I think they kept them on him longer than they thought they were because of the pandemic. And they're like, this is over in 6 months.
Still isn't.
And then they're like, we got to go with,
But I was more thinking of the time he beat Jake.
Well, yeah, which is, I was a sign that Jake wasn't working.
Yeah, it was a sign of Jake starting his falling upwards career.
Oh, he's falling up.
He's going to main event Tokyo Dome. Watch it. He's going to main event
the Dome. I'll do a shout out to Chris Samsa, Sport of Pro Wrestling's G1 pool. You should enter because I want.
Okay, the reason haven't actually filled out my ballot yet is because I don't know if I want to fill it out with Jake loses every match or Jake wins all of his matches and wins the G1. I genuinely don't know what I want to do.
Okay, so let me just load up here my bracket because this is an incredible interface that I believe Jeremy Sexton, who designed the logo for the show, also had a hand in designing. Yeah. I have Jake in at 10 points, and he would to put him in 5th place because he loses the tiebreaker, who also has 10 points. But I don't have him coming out of block A, but I have him beating Naito.
I mean, it would be the first time a Noah guy actually makes it out of the block if it happens. If he's still a Noah guy, which is not clear. Yeah.
I have Jake losing to Umino, Shingo, Evil, and Great O'Con. I have him beating Naito, Zack, Sonata, Gabe Kidd, and Callum Newman.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's definitely beating Newman. I think that one is pretty safe. Yeah, no, like he just, I mean, it's Jake, so like never not bet on him looking like a geek. But yeah, there's no way that he's losing to Naito. Like after every, like he already got humiliated in the whole lead up to altogether and then lost. He has to get a win back over Naito there. And he's probably getting a title match out of that as well.
Yeah, that's like some like September, October.
And then he's going to beat Naito and then main event against the Dome against whoever wins the G1.
Oh, God, that's so funny. All right. So I asked for questions because I knew that we didn't have a ton to talk about because a lot of previews. We'd already talked about the Noah Budokan and, you know, we're not going super long or anything. So mm-hmm. I did get some questions. So first on X from Ace of the Multiverse at Multiverse Ace. What are some surprises will we see in the N1? Sean Legacy impressed me with Noah last year, and I would like to see. I don't know if Sean Legacy will be back. It doesn't feel like it because they didn't use him afterwards. But no. I do expect surprise foreigners and not necessarily WWE in the N1. Because that's so been the MO. Because the very first N1 had like Alexander Hammerstein.
Oh, yeah. No, like that definitely will be something there.
So I expect a surprise foreigner. Who could it be? I don't know. I mean, Noah's good at finding people that no one
yes.
can all extent. So I don't know, because I could go through like who's hot on the indies. Well, there's Calvin Tankman, and I would love to see Calvin Tankman in Japan, for example. But like who else? Adam Priest? I don't know.
Adam Priest would be a cool one, yeah.
These are just people I know.
Like equipment might be like a European guy as well.
Yeah.
You know, absolutely. Like a maybe I like mean, a Mike, nothing... Mike DiVecchio. I mean, I've been beating that drum forever now, but you know, yeah. I think he would just fit perfectly
for sure. Or some Progress affiliated guy, let's be honest.
Yeah, Progress affiliated guys. Would,
well, let's see
would
who's on Progress sense. Shows recently.
Charles Crowley. Oh, God.
So, okay, Progress shows May 27th.
I mean, Luke Jacobs.
16. Ricky Knight Jr.
Yeah.
Has he been signed by anyone else? No.
No. But I think, look, Luke Jacobs would be my number one pick.
Yeah. Axel Tischer?
Axel Tischer, actually, because he already has also been announced for the Noah shows in Europe. So Tischer actually would be a great guy to, like, get into Japan.
Yeah.
I love Axel Tischer. Even though the shirts that he sells are not super high quality because I bought one and it's already...
So those are some names. But
and he worked Noah. I just saw that, yeah. It was a Noah. It was like a WXW Noah like show in 2011. But still, he was on there. Do you wanna take a guess against who?
No, I have no clue.
Satoshi Kajiwara.
Oh wow.
Yeah, that's a name I haven't heard in a long ass time.
Yeah, no. And then so we go to. Next question from Dylan, from a friend of the show, from the Eastern Lariat. How do you think Noah's handled All Rebellion so far, and how long do you think this group will last as currently constructed? I have enjoyed most of the All Rebellion like tag matches on the spot shows. I think Crystal Ball has been a bust.
Yes.
He hasn't done anything.
No.
How long will this last? Another 6 months at least. I don't know. 6 to 9 months.
Yeah, I think maybe they're going to get a year. I mean, eventually, we all know eventually Kato will turn on Kaito. Like, we all know that's where this is going.
Do you think that could be the January like Sumo Hall or Budokan?
It might be. It might also be Kaito Rizuiwa.
Yeah.
But it might be like next time this year, right? When they run, if they run Budokan again in the summer, I think at the latest, that's when we'll get Kano versus Kaito. And like All Rebellion falls apart, like maybe spring next year.
After Hideki's Chairman Carnival match with Anzai, how would you grade his run so far purely with All Japan and also Tenryu Project? Well, I haven't seen him in Tenryu Project, but I hear his team with Hikaru Sato is good. I am giving Hideki in All Japan. That team with Suwama was not great, but
no.
I'm still going to, this might be a little generous, but an A minus just given.
Mm-hmm.
What I was expecting.
I'm going to go B.
Because he delivered in most other ways. Like the match I loved. There seems to be a little divisiveness about that match because of a couple of final minutes. But I did love it. And then his Champion Carnival run for the most part was pretty good. And so, yeah, I mean, A minus, but with the caveat that I could see a B plus, really, because the Suwama and Hideki stuff was not great. Really, truly actually been helpful to the company.
Yes. I mean, I will still go for a B because the tag team with Suwama has just been so disappointing. But I do think like all of the single stuff that he's done has been really good. And obviously like the match with Anzai was great. So yeah, I think a solid B. It's just that the tag team stuff just really kind of drags things down for me.
Yeah. So we go to the Discord question from Rika Tatsumi, who has a big match upcoming against Miyu Watanabe.
Yeah, she really does a lot of Discord posting for that. She should probably prepare for that.
I know. She should prepare for that match. I know you are both big WWE fans, so who do you want to see from WWE in the N1? Well, Charlie Dempsey.
Yep.
I think Obafemi could use those reps. Would be very helpful for his development. This person's WWE until, I think, the end of August is when his contract expires. But, like, I think that Damon Kemp, a.k.a. Bobby Stevenson, I think Japanese Tony should give him a look.
Okay.
I really do.
I mean, I don't know. That doesn't ring a bell for me right now.
So he's Gable Stevenson's brother.
Okay.
And he was just, he wasn't released, but it was announced that they would not be renewing his contract.
I mean, yeah, but then I don't think they're going to send him to Japan, right?
Well, he wants to continue in the business. I'm just saying, though, I'm just bringing this up because I think Japanese companies should take a look at him.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I think, you know, he's like 6 feet, kind of thick. Obviously wasn't his brother, but he was still a high-level amateur wrestler. So, and his, like, you know, that
doesn't come with the same baggage.
Does not come with the same baggage. I mean, I was pretty high on him. He wrestles, puts in a lot of like, amateur arsenal. I really believe that. And he wants to continue in the business. So I think that they should take a look at him. And I mean, probably since he's coming from WWE, it's only like Noah and New Japan that could afford him. But I think both of those companies should take a look at him.
Yeah, I think the only ones I would add to that, I mean, Chad Dempsey obviously is like the number one with a bullet after what he did in All Japan. Yeah. I think the guy I would probably want to see as well would be like someone that might be like realistic as well, because obviously if I could just go completely wild, I would be like, give me Walter.
But yeah,
that's not gonna happen, you know. But I would probably go for like someone like Nathan Frazier, formerly known as Benjamin Carter. You know, like Ilya Dragunov. That would be a great one.
Fabian Eichner, who is something
Giovanni Da Vinci or something. Axel Dieter Jr., whatever his fucking name was as well. That would be a good one.
Ludwig Kaiser?
Oh, God.
Oh, yeah, Ludwig Kaiser.
Somehow that's worse than Gunther. Really bad. That is really, really bad. Like, that's like if they were, I mean, Giovanni Vinci is already bad. It's like, Jesus. But yeah, like those type of guys. I think there's definitely guys in there that, like, I mean, there's loads of people on that roster that WWE isn't really doing anything with that you could send over. Like, to be fair, Tozawa would be a junior, so that doesn't really count, obviously.
Yeah. Who else? Chad Gable, but I think he's on TV.
Exactly, that's a problem. There's like guys that would be cool that are definitely not going to happen. Like a Sheamus, I think, would fit in like a glove and Noah.
McIntyre, Tyler Bate.
Yeah. That Bate is injured.
Oh, right. He tore his pack.
Yeah.
What's his name? Butch.
Not the way.
Yeah, not the way.
Pete Dunne.
Yeah. Why was I drawing a blank on him for a second?
No, I did as well. I had to really think about that one.
Because he's like a bigger name than Tyler Bate, but I remembered that.
Yeah.
Those are people.
It's just a question on who is actually like realistic to like come over. As long as we don't get like one of the coffees, I'm like, yeah, okay, cool. Or other people with other questionable people currently employed by WWE. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm trying to think here. Let's I'm just looking at who's...
You know who Loki, if he was like serious, would be like a bit of an under the radar one? If he actually did like serious stuff? Otis.
Oh, yeah.
Just like a bruiser coming in, yeah. If he doesn't do his WWE character and just wrestle seriously, I think that could actually work.
For sure. But I don't think it'll be main roster people, unfortunately.
No.
Yeah, I'm just looking at some of these recent...
It would have to be something that they can just afford to just give up for like a month straight. And that's not a lot.
I'm not convinced that there's a guarantee that someone from WWE...
Maybe.
Yeah.
What about someone like Carl Anderson?
Oh, God. It could have
a name in Japan.
Yeah, that's the thing, right? That's a real thing that could happen, actually.
I mean, I'd take like Johnny Gargano.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, we'll see. Like I said, it very much could be a thing of like, oh my God, what the fuck are we even doing here? Or very much it could be like, you know what? Actually, I think this is a good addition to the tournament. Eddie Thorpe.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He's not doing anything.
Yeah, he never got into the G1, but he gets into the N1.
So, yeah, and I don't think there's going to be any bloodline coming. So
yeah, I really, really hope so. I don't want to see Tangaloa. I don't want to see any of them. Even Tama Tonga, I'm fine not.
I could see in 6 months, though, Gio Dion, Noah.
When, like, the bloodline kind of runs its course?
Yeah. Or at least those guys in the bloodline run their course.
Yeah.
And then from Velky Bracha, how hard will you party when you're finally friends with Jake Lee? I don't know if I'd party. It would be the
evening. Yeah, it very much would be. Like, he's been such a main character of the show.
I mean, I feel like he will jump to New Japan.
I feel like at this point, like with them disbanding GLG, and it's just, I don't know, he just feels like a complete non-entity in Noah as well.
I'm not convinced he's going, but he'd go with
them. Oh yeah, if they take him, for sure. I mean, it's kind of similar to like El Lindemann, right? But like, I feel like El Lindemann really got demotivated, A, after he lost the G-Rex, and also after like New Japan didn't like poach him after the Best of the Super Junior run. So I feel like Jake definitely would go. Okay, what if Jake actually loses to Naito and then he just joins LIJ? Like, Goto just like shakes Naito's hand after the match and just joins LIJ and jumps to New Japan. That would be the most Jake way of doing this.
Yeah, I mean, I could see Yota Tsuji like not long for LIJ. So
yeah, because he just really doesn't fit with them at all.
Yeah, so they like he goes and he wins, finally wins the world title. IWGP cycling. So that was.
Hey, that's even more people. That's even more former All Japan people than LIJ. So you know.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, It
very much would be. It's like, I'm also like, you know what? I've watched enough Jake. I mean, it's not like I would even be done with him because I still watch New Japan, so I would still watch him, but. He would kind of disappear as like a like talking point for us, at least.
And then Odd Jobs, our last question. If you could bring in to Noah one Japanese heavyweight wrestler from a lesser-known promotion, i.e. nobody from New Japan, All Japan, Dragon Gate, and DDT, who would you pick and why? So Daimanji.
Yeah. Yeah. I was actually thinking if Big Japan guys are kind of like cheating here.
I feel like Big Japan's cheating.
Yeah, I mean, and so Daimonji isn't really a Big Japan guy, so yeah, I feel
he's a freelancer.
He's like, yeah, that's the thing. Because I was actually really thinking about that, about guys aside from him, and I was really struggling. Like, there aren't that many, like, high-level freelancers out there right now, like there used to be. I guess maybe Irie, if he counts.
Yeah, more Irie and Noah
would
be good. Yeah, that's like... The freelancers are really small guys. I don't know, like, who's in heat of these? Is there anyone worse?
Yeah, exactly. There's no one.
Because all they got,
yeah,
they all got taken, like Yuizuka and
like great hoovered up a lot of the like freelancer heavyweight talent.
Yeah,
Noah did too, actually, to some degree.
Yes, that's true. I'm just gonna like look. Okay, so what's the latest heat up show from June 30th? Hajime. No, thanks.
No. Joji Otani, absolutely not.
Yeah, there's just not. I'm just looking at it.
There's just nobody there. Yeah, it's really dire.
Right?
I mean, Daichi Sato, but he's 15, so like, let's maybe give him a few more years.
Am I going to get canceled for looking at this PPP card? But
Probably, yeah.
Yeah, there's no one on that. Well, I mean, Ender Kara, but he's not a heavyweight.
That's the thing. Like juniors, probably would have an easier time, but like heavyweights,
there's no one on this ski card because like half. No.
I mean, side like again, it's like so Daimonji is like the guy. That's the obvious answer.
Yeah, there's no one else.
Can we move Koji Iwamoto up to heavyweight? Because he wanted to do that.
Yeah, he might work better as a heavyweight in Noah too.
Oh, well, does Kodaka count? But again, it's already like that. Already feels like cheating to like, and he's a junior.
Yusuke Kodama?
No, Isami Kodaka.
Isami. I mean, there's nothing you can run him.
Yeah. We Noah definitely run
Yuko Miyamoto. Yuko Miyamoto as a heavyweight.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's thin for heavyweights these days, and it's the indies are thin because you know you've got the companies between Noah All Japan and Great, a lot of the best rookie. I'd have to JTO people.
JTO. Oh yeah. Oh sorry. Ayato Yoshida is the obvious answer.
Oh,
if he's interested in actually working full time, Ayato Yoshida, even ahead of that's the obvious answer.
Is it? I don't know. I like Daimonji's like just kick assing style. It's hard.
It's still like with Ayato Yoshida, like just like you know, if he is actually motivated, like I think his ceiling is just much higher. That would be my thing. I think his ceiling even now is just much, much higher. I love that Daimonji, but he would be like a good like mid to upper mid carder to bring in. I don't think he would be a top guy. Whereas Ayato Yoshida, I think you could still build him into a top guy even now.
Yep, that's very possible. I'm just looking at this JTO card. I don't think any of them are. There are a lot of the guys are small. There's a couple heavyweights. Yeah. But yeah, the JTO guys will have to develop a bit more first because like with Red Ayabe gone and they're sort of in the rebuilding mode, I think.
Yeah. And 2AW doesn't really have like much there.
They don't have heavyweights except for Haddish.
Yeah. Yeah. Can we move up Kaito Tomato to heavyweight?
Yeah. Or something like that. Right. So
like that's basically like half my answers have been like, can we move this junior up to heavyweight essentially?
Yes.
Like I feel like it's also like because there isn't a lot of talent being developed on the indies as well.
And it depends because I would feel more comfortable moving certain juniors up to heavyweight Noah than in
that's the other thing.
New Japan or something like that, right? But this was to Noah, but yeah, Daimonji would fit. You could be Iwamoto and you could get away with Iwamoto heavyweight in Noah, I think.
And Irie if he's interested in working with like Cyberfight.
Well, I mean he's been on like all right. Oh, Yuji Hino.
Yeah.
He's still part-time.
Yeah. Hino, like a couple of years ago is an absolute. That would have been my first pick.
Well, wasn't he in Noah? Yeah, he was in Noah, 2018?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I still would bring him in. I don't think he would be one of my top picks, is the way I would say it.
Not,
Does Kuma Arashi still count, despite him being like a regular in All Japan now? Or again, rather? He's not under contract.
I don't know. Would he fit in Noah?
I feel like you could make like a big boy faction with him and like Yuichi.
Yeah, I just feel like he fits better in all.
Oh, no, for sure. For sure. He does.
But I mean, he's there. There's Koji Doi, who's now like nobody above like Nagata Pro wants to.
Yeah, it's weird. It's not terrible, but I mean, he's also just not been like doing anything.
I think Kuma's approved and I think Kuma's more charismatic.
Yes, Kuma is definitely the better one, better of the two now. Like for a long time, Doi was the better one, but like
Kuma, he's a better worker.
Yeah,
but Kuma's got the crunch.
Yes, yeah, like he just laps him now.
Yeah. So that is that. Paul, any last thoughts? You want to talk about the ledge?
No, I feel like at this point, let's just see how this one goes on Saturday. At this point, I think we've both laid out our arguments. And we'll see who is correct.
Yep, for sure. That's funny, but I am gonna watch the Noah Budokan live, which means I'll probably have to watch the All Japan show the next.
Yeah, I'll see how it does. I might double screen it, but yeah, I'm gonna decide that on Saturday.
Because the All Japan show doesn't start till 5 a.m.
Well, okay, yeah, your time.
And I'm not gonna be up until I don't think I'm gonna be up by the time the main
pants. No, that's fair.
I'll probably wake up to a million messages.
You know? Either, oh my God, you're a genius, you foresaw this, or oh my God, Gerard, you're a fucking idiot. How could you predict Sumama would win?
Yeah, exactly. So
that's one of those might be from me.
And given the we got a really big, you know, their biggest of the year, and then a pretty big All Japan show out of randomly, did not expect it to be that big. We'll be back before like Thursday or Friday in all likelihood, because we'll have two big shows to talk about.
We definitely have to be back before Friday because I'm going to Warsaw on Friday.
Yeah, exactly. So we'll be back before Friday and everything like that. So we'll talk about those shows, talk about the fallout, we'll talk about people probably complaining because we'll probably learn more about WWE and Noah.
Oh, yeah. It definitely feels like a really big weekend coming up where we're going to learn a lot about what the rest of the year for both of those look like. Because, I mean, we touched a bit on the N1, right? But we're 100% we're getting like the N1 announcements at the show. Because we're getting really close to the tournament. So they kind of have to do that now.
Definitely. All right. So we will see you next week. Take care and bye.
My name is Tyler Fornes, and I am one of the co-hosts of The Good, The Bad, and The Hungy AEW podcast here on the Voice of Wrestling Podcasting Network. We take a broad scope approach to the world of All Elite Wrestling and the entire universe of Tony Khan. We talk about the big matches, the big stars, the promos, the storylines. And we also look at it from a big picture perspective. How are things going to change over the course of the next 10 years with AEW still in the picture? How are companies like WWE going to adapt and adjust to AEW? Are they going to be a similar way like they did with WCW in the late 1990s? Will there be a counterpunch? We talk about all of that and more on The Good, The Bad, and The Hungy every week on the Voice of Wrestling Network.